Welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode, yes it is, 43. Getting up there. And we are talking DC Comics, New 52 Second Wave. My name is Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb, completely exhausted, Gerard.
And I'm Murray Fox.
He sounds like he's in. Are you in a wind tunnel, Murray, or is that Caleb?
I'm not in a wind tunnel.
Okay, it might just be on my end. But anyway, yes, we're going to talk about the second wave of DC Comics' New 52 initiative and some of the underperformers were canceled, which I believe we've talked about several times in other episodes of this podcast. If you haven't joined us before, that's too bad. You'll have to catch up.
And it's all streaming now, so you can, in fact, get it.
Yeah.
It's
all streaming. Yeah. And get it right off the website if you want. Just you don't even have to download them. Just click that little nifty little play button. They're all
there. That's actually pretty cool. I finally tried that.
Yeah. Yeah, and the stats I get, it tells me who's played them that way or who's downloaded them or who's the feed. So nice little stats there. But anyway, let's see. Let's get around to it here. First up, I'll just give a little synopsis of what we got, and then we'll get into details. You got the first batch, the first four came out. You have World's Finest, which has Power Girl and Huntress, which were the Supergirl and Robin of Earth 2, written by Paul Levitz, George Perez, and Kevin Maguire, art, which we'll switch off, and inked by the wonderful Scott Koblish.
He's a nice guy, that Scott Koblish.
Yes, he is. He is quite the guy.
He's a mensch.
Yes. Then you have the much-anticipated Earth 2, which is a new universe to play with, written by James Robinson, with art by Nicola Scott and Trevor Scott. Oh, what the hell?
Everybody okay?
Yeah, I think so. I think we flew too close to the trees there that time.
Okay.
I'll try to keep the altitude higher. My apologies.
Soaring over California. Okay.
Yeah.
Back from Disneyland. It's all. Everything will be Disney for me tonight.
I have to tell us some stories about that, you know, kind
sure.
of a little fluff if we need it.
Sure.
Then you got Dial H from China Myville, I think, which I believe is a horror writer.
Is that how it's pronounced, Murray?
I really don't know.
I think I've heard it Myville, but again, I don't know.
Okay, well. Sorry, we'll just call him China.
Okay.
Or is it China? Oh, well.
It's China.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, Matthias Santoloquio. Oh, my God, that's terrible. The artist, that's what we'll call him. Anyway, this one is a new take on the old Dial H for Hero series from Adventure Comics. And basically, this looks like this... I think he was a washed-up fighter, right? Something like that? I don't remember. And he tries to dial 911 to help his buddy and ends up turning into superheroes. So kind of a new take on the Dial H concept, which it's actually kind of interesting, but you know, we'll get into that later. And then we have G.I. Combat featuring the War That Time Forgot with also the Unknown Soldier. The world from The War That Time Forgot is written by J.T. Krull, one of our favorite writers. It tells the Longbox podcast. For those of you that are just joining us, that's called sarcasm. And then you have The Unknown Soldier written by Justin Gray, Jimmy Pagliotti, and let's see, art by Ariel Olivetti and Dan Possian, you know, respectable, their pick titles. And, you know, G.I. Combat, Wartime Forgot. Let's see, Soldiers versus Dinosaurs, sum that up real quickly. And then there is Batman Incorporated, written by Grant Morrison, Chris Burnham. Now, this is continuing the Batman Incorporated storyline that was before the Flashpoint. It's finally back, and, you know, more Batman and Robin action. plus probably other characters in the Bat universe. Because we all know there's not enough Bat titles out right now. And
God can't help us.
Yeah. As they like to say, from the pages of Teen Titans, here is the Ravagers number one. This comes right out of the Culling storyline that crossed over from Teen Titans, Legion Lost, and Superboy. I'm missing one.
Nope, that's it.
That's it.
I guess there was only that. Okay.
Well, there were two issues. There was the Titans, and there was also the Titans Annual.
Right. That's right. Okay, that's what I'm screwing up. So, we need Ravagers, and it's basically characters from the previous universe.
Did you say caricatures or characters?
Probably. Believe me, I'm not drinking, though. That might change what night's over. You know, you got a character from Wildstorm Universe, Gen 13. You got Terra and Beast Boy, which are changed. And then Thunder and Lightning, which has been changed. And you got a character called Ridge, which is new as far as I know. Let's see. Written by Howard Mackey and Ian Churchill. Great art, by the way. And Norm Ratmund. Yeah, but anyway. That's another team book. In the Scott Lobdell realm of team books with another 90s Marvel writer on it.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Got that all out there. Everybody take a breath. If you need to get a drink, go ahead. I'm going to take one. I'm parched.
So, obviously we should start with Earth 2. I mean, that was the first. I mean, that was the first one to come out of the six. I was, World's Finest first? I don't know.
I believe
they all came out the same week.
Four of them all came out the same week. Yeah.
So Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe. Well, I can't talk about the World of Time Forgot. I'm sorry, I neglected or GI Combat, whatever it's called. I neglected reading it.
The crap I'm not reading again. That's what I'm calling it.
Oh, even the Unknown Soldier story wasn't very good.
It was just pretty much a.
Oh.
No, it wasn't their best work. No. Okay, we'll talk about that one since we got it.
Yeah, let's go with that one because it'll be quick. I read it.
Yeah.
And I liked The War That Time Forgot more than I liked the Unknown Soldier one.
I think I did too, actually.
The Unknown Soldier was. It was pretty much the Punisher with bandages on his face.
Yeah, uh-huh. And he's hunting down ragheads instead of criminals. That's pretty much the only difference.
Yeah, it
not to be insensitive for other religions, but they had rags on their heads, literally, so.
It didn't do much for me. I don't know,
the word that pops in my head is two-dimensional.
Yeah, you really didn't get into the... Like, it was all told from someone else's point of view. You didn't get into the Unknown Soldier's head at all. It was very,
He jumped around a little too much, too.
Yeah, I didn't love it. I don't know that I've ever read an Unknown Soldier story, so I don't know how it compares to the original, but this was,
Well, they did a Vertigo series, and it I think it lasted maybe like 15, 16 issues. And I don't even know what it was about, but that was – they did that for a while. But, no, they've done a lot better work. I mean, you read this and then you read, like, All-Star Western, and it's like, is these the same guys?
So is there an identified narrator on this thing, or is it just an anonymous third party?
Yeah, no, there's a narrator. It's one of the – who is narrating the story? It doesn't really matter. It's well, I mean, really, like it's one of the
it's
one of the known soldiers, not one of the unknown soldiers.
Yeah, it starts out like you're reading a military report, and then there's no narration after that. Really, I'm just flipping through it now.
Yeah, half of it is told through like the Army Journal report, and then the other half is. Mm-hmm. Kind of present day jibber jabber between a colonel and the unknown soldier, who's not really unknown because we see his family and we see him,
mm-hmm.
and we see them get blown up and stuff. I mean, he doesn't have a name, I don't think.
He has amnesia too. So,
right, he has amnesia.
The art reminded me of Walter Simonson. That seemed like a plus on that one, but okay, well, I won't rush out to my LCS to.
Then you got the $3.99 prize.
Ooh, it's a extra sound.
Yeah, because it's got the two stories in it, and you know I've actually dropped a bunch of titles to kind of pick up because more titles were canceled than I was reading, so I'm actually gonna end up reading more after this, at least at first. So
there you go. That's what DC wants.
Yeah, we can get into that later.
Well, the Ariel Olivetti stuff, the one, the pages that I've seen,
yeah,
these aren't awesome. But I
don't really care for the way it looked for some reason.
It's I know what you mean. I'm not a big fan of the painter style, but
it just I'm okay with the painter style. It just didn't seem to fit.
I don't know. I get why they went that way for the dinosaur look, to make the dinosaurs look, I don't know, super real, or if you're going for that Dinotopia look.
Mm-hmm.
Dinotopia
look.
Yeah, that's a nice
book. That's a series of books, isn't it?
Yes, it is. They also made a couple of TV movies about it, too. They tried to make a series out of it, but it didn't make it.
Well, the books weren't. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know what? I didn't mind the War That Time Forgot. It the first time I read through it, I wasn't impressed. But when I read through it the second time, it was okay. Like J.T. Krull sets up. There's a little bit of character stuff at the beginning. You get to know the two, who I presume are going to be the two main characters. You get a little bit of insight into what makes them tick,
mm-hmm.
and then you get right into the Army men on dinosaur action. So, really, I mean, that's all. I mean, what more do you want in this story?
Then, kinky. Very kinky.
Yes.
Dinosaurs chomping on army men.
Is it like a lost premise where they're going to be stuck on this island and we don't know?
That's what it looks like because they left it. They were investigating something have to do with North Korea, and that tells you what an impression it was. I didn't remember until I flipped through it. But the last scene is a bunch of dinosaurs fighting North Koreans with American soldiers that had just got crashed. They're looking over these trees in a little ridge, and they see that, and that's the last panel. So I have an idea that's what the deal is.
I suspect it'll be some sort of ongoing story. Like originally in GI Combat, when they did the War That Time Forgot, it was kind of funny in that every issue was a standalone story and every issue happened coincidentally to have a different set of army people that ended up fighting dinosaurs for some reason, which, I mean, it's funny and it's goofy. And
yeah.
I mean, where else but in DC land would you find different soldiers that just happened to come across these different islands of dinosaurs. So,
didn't they try this before with like a 7-issue series?
I think they mashed it up with a whole bunch of different characters. So they had the dinos and they had did they have Enemy Ace or something? And they had
– seems like it.
They mixed a couple of
– well, the sequence in New Frontier with this was a hell of a lot better than this. But, you know, that goes without saying, I guess.
Yeah. Well, apples and oranges. But so do these both seamlessly fit into DC universe, superhero universe, or are they really trying to, like, sort of like with Jonah Hex, trying to keep it at least very quietly?
Didn't see any superhero-ish stuff or see a reference of it that I saw.
No, I mean, it's probably in DC land, but there's no mention of Metropolis or Batman or anybody.
All right.
Yeah.
I can dig it.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay.
Okay.
You know, I'm kind of curious to know where the War That Time Forgot goes from here. I already forgot. A couple of directions, but I'm probably not going to spend $4 a month to find out.
No, that $3.99 is definitely a bone of contention with me, and it better make my toes catch on fire before I open pay an extra buck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And for $4, like if I were interested in both of the stories, I might consider it, or I might consider waiting until it was like $3.99 and go digital. But there's only one story that's catching my eye, and
yeah.
Yeah, for 14 pages, I'm not going to pay a ton to find it. Like, I'm interested, but I'm not like dying to know what's going to happen next.
No, it didn't pull my interest at all, and it might just be because Froll was on there. So
he has its tendency to actually start off strong and then crash and burn. I mean, yeah, I could even say that about Captain Atom, is that I actually was interested after the first issue, not enough to follow through, but it was like, okay, yeah. I see the premise is really strong, but
yeah, well, yeah, and I followed that, I think, up to issue 6 before it didn't seem like it had any direction and just dropped off of it.
And even his Green Arrow back in the day, not the current one that he fell off pretty quickly, but the back pre-reboot. What it started off strong and then it just again just fell off a cliff.
I agree. Yeah, it did. It dropped really, really quickly. And I was about to cancel it when I found out they were, you know, canceling everything. So I was like, yeah, okay, I'll stick out for the rest of it. And I'm like, why did I stick out for the rest of it?
So the other standalone of the four books that came out the same week was Dial H.
Yes.
I'm a fan. The same way I was a fan of Zombie, though. The XOMBI Zombie.
Right.
Which they pulled the rug out from underneath me on that, which I'm afraid they're probably going to pull the rug out for me on this one as well. I don't think that it's going to catch fire enough.
I think it's just a little too weird.
A little?
I mean, you know, I'm not reading Animal Man or those others, so this is what I have to gauge with. I mean, the Boy Chimney idea is actually pretty interesting. But I don't know. It's just a little bit too off kilter for me.
It's going to have to I don't know what it needs to do in order to catch on with a wider audience, but something tells me that this is either going to be a cult book and will continue as a cult book, kind of like their All-Star Western book somehow keeps, you know, an audience. Or because it's way Vertigo. I mean, it's incredibly Vertigo, this book.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, the imagery, I mean, it's very adult. It's very, who's the artist in this thing? You said it's got some funky name. It's Mateus Santoluco.
Yeah.
That's how you nail the hell out of that.
I would imagine probably Brazilian. They seem to be getting a lot of Brazilian artists.
But the concept of this guy, he's just, you know, he's a loser. I mean, this, what is his name? I'm going to have to go back.
It is.
You're prepared better.
It's something like Norman, but it's not Norman. It is Nelson.
Nelson, even better. Even a better loser name. but starting off the book by dragging his buddy's, fat ass up the stairs here. Being dragged by his buddy.
Being dragged up, yeah.
Excuse me. Because he's too fat and he smokes too much. Yeah, right there, that says superhero to me.
You got the story of redemption. That's what they're going to probably try to do with it.
But it's more like the original Dial H, where he kind of gets absorbed into his change, but unlike when they did the reboot with the two Dial H's, where they actually still kept their own brain, you know, their own thoughts.
Yeah.
It was like in the original one with the Sakuma G Dial H.
I know what you're talking about.
He would lose. I mean, Murray, you probably, that seems more like your bag, the original Dial H.
You know what? I know. It makes my skin crawl.
Really?
Yeah.
I only read that bits and pieces, so I can't really say one way or the other.
Yeah, I haven't read much of it, and I don't know if it's the art style or the what, but it didn't ever catch my interest.
Wow, that actually does, that just shocked me. That just, it seems so much.
It's right up my alley, and it just doesn't do a thing for me.
You're Mr. Golden and Silver Age, right? That's
I know. I should like it. I should probably give it a try again, because I don't even remember who the artist was on the Silver Age one, but it didn't grab me. Now the series that I did like with Dial H was the, what did they call it? I think they called it Hero, and it was by Will Pfeiffer and Kano, I think, and it was done, ooh, how long ago?
Oh, it wasn't that long. It was probably
in the last early 2000s, probably
in 2004 maybe or so.
Yeah, that series I liked, and this I see this series as being similar to it. It's probably a little more on the weird side, but I liked it. I don't know how long a shelf life it has. Like, I think DC was hoping that it would come out of the gate and it would get a lot of. It would get a lot of buzz just because it's a weird book and it's a cool concept and you've got these new creators on it. And I think they were hoping that it was going to have more buzz than maybe it has had.
Yeah, I've seen some buzz on it, people talking about it.
Good. Like, I know it had a lot of buzz before it came out, and then I think when the 4 issues came out all at once, I'm wondering if Earth 2 kind of stole
everybody's
buzz.
Confused why they did that. Why not spread them all out?
Yeah.
But, whatever.
Well, I'm rereading some of the dialogue right now, and it's bizarre. And then Captain Lacrimose.
What the hell was that? I think I had to look that word up when I first saw it. I'm like, what? Huh? What?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like, oh, just making all the everyone cry and sad and all the, here's a quote, all that misery and that little memory. Think what other moments I can bring to mind. Holy crap. This guy's a poet, right? This China whatever.
Well, I think he writes horror novels.
Oh, does he? Well, petrol breath, carbon particles, ruin rendered, effort, bone dust, burnt paper, stinking, singeing feathers, char, and oh, poison. So hush, breathe. Oh, my God. It was good. I honest to God, of the 6 books, this was the one that I'm just like, I really want to see what happens next most of all of the 6. I admit it.
Yeah, I was borderline on it.
I would like to see it continue. I'll give it another couple of issues and... Yeah. I would like to see it succeed. Like DC needs some of these fringy books to succeed, I think. Not that they don't have a lot of fringe books right now, but I don't think they're doing, I don't know, they're on the fringe for a reason, I guess, but I want this one to work.
You know, and maybe it could be this whole dark DC could be, you know, it's their attempt to, you know, well, they've already, you know, dragged in a couple of the former Vertigo characters, former DC heroes, former Vertigo characters back in the DC universe. So hopefully this is their this will work. I like this. I'm in for the long haul at the moment. So, but I'm 100% digital now. So this will.
Oh really?
It's easy to commit at a dollar cheaper per issue.
Wow. Yeah. If I didn't have a local shop, I'd start doing that.
I got myself a reader, so I'm happy.
Okay, what's next?
The other two that came out that same week were Earth 2 and Worlds with the apostrophe in the at the end of Worlds, Finest. Mm-hmm. So I don't know which to talk about first, since I'm a little concerned they were both conjoined twins. There was no way to read one without reading the other.
Yeah, and I really think you should have read Earth 2 before you read World's Finest, because it kind of spoils it. Because I think I read them Earth 2 first and then read the other, and it kind of tells that you know, oh, by the way, spoilers, everyone. Some of these have been out a couple of weeks, but just in case, spoilers. So go out and get the issues and then come back. We'll wait. Okay, moving on. But yeah, they tell what happens in, you know, World's Finest with Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. I mean, getting killed and
these are the, and by the way, these are the Earth 2 versions of Batman, Wonder Woman,
yes,
and Superman.
Yes, exactly.
And a little background, Earth 2, pre Crisis on Infinite Earths, 1986, was DC used to have alternate dimensions, and Earth 2 was where the Golden Age DC Universe characters lived. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of clamor for it to return at some point, and voila, we've gotten the return of Earth 2.
That's the Earth 1, Earth 2 thing is how they explain that Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman started in the 30s, but in the 80s they were still the same age. They just at one point in time, I think that was in the 60s, they said that's, you know, these Golden Age heroes were on another universe, and there was another Superman, another Batman, and another Wonder Woman on that Earth too. But, you know, when they did Crisis, they combined all those Earths, and the older versions were kind of wiped out of existence, and that made the Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman were unique to Earth 1.
Right.
Yes. So that's how that worked.
Good synopsis.
Thank y'all. And I really like what they're doing here. It didn't take very long to figure out, at least for me anyway, that they're doing this backwards, basically. Because the way it was before, Earth 2 heroes were the, when they, after the merge from Crisis, they were the inspiration to this generation of heroes, which was Batman and so on and so forth. Well, now they're doing it the other way around because they were killed, and then all these new heroes are going to show up, and they're going to be inspired by them. I think it's a great idea.
And pre-Crisis, we called that Infinity Incorporated. Sorry.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's he did a great job setting that up. It's great. It really is.
I agree. James Robinson is he has a love for the whole thing. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, in terms of the whole Golden Age thing, that is his bag. I mean, that's mm-hmm. He did the Starman series, which was clearly had a strong Golden Age influence.
Oh, absolutely.
And then, of course, he did the Golden Age miniseries mm-hmm. Back in the day. He's the one who rebooted Justice Society initially.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
still one of my favorite runs.
He was the one who brought Geoff Johns into DC.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I mean, he loves this stuff. So I'm glad that he got this opportunity. I'm hoping that it doesn't stay dark like it is right now, because it's incredibly dark.
Yeah. Well, and then there's the, you know, the elephant on the internet with, you know, Alan Scott being going to be the Green Lantern of this Earth 2, and he's going to be gay. So, you know, all the stink that's caused. At least some.
I don't know. I don't think it's caused that much, though. Like,
well, not yet, anyway. I don't know. You never know with that thing. You still got those 1 million moms, which is really only barely 500,000, you know. Well, what if Wolverine said, what if my kid says, well, Wolverine has a husband and I want one too? Oh my God. Think of the children.
Think of them.
Yeah.
Okay, and ooh.
If you got a kid that can afford to buy all these every week, then I'm doing something wrong. Let's put it that way. Now this was $3.99 as well. I don't know if it's going to be that way, stay that way though. Does anybody know?
I think it was just the first issue that was $3.99 because
yeah.
It's
okay,
they gave them a double sized issue to
yeah.
really
yeah.
lay the pipe for the story, which was cool. I don't know if I would call it dark. I mean, okay, you got the three main characters killed off.
Yeah,
but
dude, it's pretty dark. I mean, come on.
I guess, but I didn't.
Yeah, next issue is $2.99.
I didn't find it like Geoff Johns dark, you know? Like, I didn't find Cat swinging, or, well, sorry, that wasn't Geoff Johns, but I didn't find, I don't know, like, they were killed off, but they died heroically, and they saved the world, and the bad guys are all gone, so I guess it's dark, but I don't know, I really liked it, and I liked that, I wasn't sure originally when I heard they were rebooting the Earth 2 concept, whether I loved that idea, because I really liked the idea of Earth 2 being, you know, tied to World War II. Like, I liked that idea of these heroes tied to the war. And Robinson, he totally updated that concept. Like, instead of World War II, it's the war with Apocalypse. And,
right.
And so much of what he's done in the Earth 2 book is very similar to what went on the original Earth 2. It's just been updated, and that's pretty cool to me. I like it. I like the whole concept.
Oh, and I liked it. I like the fact that it looks like Apocalypse is, you know, and the whole fourth world, or whatever they're going to call it, is back strong, and it is the. It's going to be the big bad for the DC Universe.
Yeah,
it really
seems
that way.
They kind of hinted at that in the Justice League episodes. I think I remember some dialogue to Cyborg when he was connected to that mother box, saying that they, you know, he's attacked other universes. So
yeah, but I on that front, Murray, you're 100% right. It is basically saying, okay, instead of World War II, it's, you know, instead of Hitler, it's Darkseid. You know, instead of Mangala, it's, you know, it's the Sod. I found it dark. It's not a complaint. I actually really enjoyed it. I think Nicholas Scott is an amazing artist, and I'm so glad that there was all that, you know, where's Nicholas Scott going to land? Where is she going to land? When they rebooted this, and they, you know, she's one of their best artists. They can't just let her, you know, flounder in the wind. And I'm glad to see this is where she landed, because she brought a lot to the story. And on top of, you know, Robinson's script and plot, she, you know, her visuals, her redesigns, gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like it too.
And it meshed and you know, to kind of bleed it over into the sister book, because it's clearly their sister books.
Oh yeah.
It's finest. You know, her style.
Nice segue, by the way.
Thank you. You know, her style definitely meshes really well with George Perez, who's doing the current world of World's Finest.
Sorry, I swooned a little bit there. I apologize.
get Chris the smelling salts quick.
Yes. You know, Perez is, he's the shit.
And that, now, do you want a mint julep to go with that?
Yeah. I have the vapors.
The vapors, right. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, her style meshed really well. Excuse me, it's probably better to say it meshed well with Kevin Maguire, because his story's kind of, his part of World's Finest is probably closer in time to the this first issue of Earth 2. You know, timing-wise. And it was really nice. It was really nice to see them, you know, complement each other in that regard. And then, of course, the George Perez current stuff. Holy crap, in a handbasket. Was it beautiful?
Oh, yeah. It's some of his best work.
It is. It really is. And Levitt's working with Perez.
Yeah, that's a dream is what that is. That is just awesome.
Not their first gig together, and I mean, ironically, it was a Justice Society story that they did before. But
that's right.
A two-parter in Justice Society, but this is really cool. I'm looking forward to seeing how this book progresses with this jumping back and forth in time. I'd almost like to see maybe occasionally each one of them do a whole issue, but
yeah.
I wonder if Levitz is going to use. I wonder if he's almost going to do it Lost style, you know, like where the flashbacks
inform
the current story.
That makes sense.
That would be a way to kind of fill in the backstory, but have those flashbacks be meaningful to the current, whatever the current tale is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and then it's going to have I don't remember reading, but are these two going to stay the main focus for this book? I mean,
Yeah.
Okay, well, I can live with that for now. Yeah.
Now, with being called World's Finest, though, I'm expecting there's going to be some...
Yeah, but you got
jumping around.
It's
called
World's Finest,
I think it'll
but you got Huntress and Power Girl on the logo.
Yeah, totally. I think it'll be those two that are jumping around. But either way, I'm looking forward to it. Levitz has got a great voice for both of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like his Power Girl is she's strong and confident, but not as strident as she was in the 70s or the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a bit of a sense of humor and like both of them, he writes the two of them together as friends so well. It's awesome.
Yeah, and I really like it.
And reading that whole sequence where, you know, they're fighting that bad guy in Japan, I can actually buy into the fact that they could be almost equal partners, because I mean that's always been one of my tougher things to accept when it comes to superheroes. It's like, really, you're gonna put Batman in a similar situation with Superman?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, I mean, this is a guy. He dresses. I mean, they make fun of it constantly. He has no powers. And the same thing with Huntress is she really, you know, she's even a lesser version. Excuse me for saying so. Of Batman, and that's not a sexist dig. It's just
I think she's more of an equal in this incarnation than the Huntress character has ever been, because they're not skirting the fact that this is, you know, Bruce Wayne's, you know, daughter.
Of
Earth 2, right. But in the original Earth 2, Robin was first. You know, Dick Grayson was Robin, and then she was Huntress after that. So there was no Dick Grayson over there, at least not yet.
Yeah, they don't rule anything out. So.
Yeah, they could do it. They could do that if they wanted to. I don't know how they would do it, but since Batman's gone, I don't know. But anyway, that's complete, you know, conjecture. So
yeah, there's a lot of, especially with the Earth 2 book, at least there's a lot of room for history, and they can delve into the history of the Earth 2 Bat family as well as the history of the Superman family of Earth 2 with this book. And to give a little background on this, and I should have said this earlier, World's Finest has a huge pedigree. The whole the original concept was, or not original, excuse me, it morphed into a monthly team up book between Superman and Batman. It obviously wasn't that originally. And
yeah,
then,
some Robin thrown in too.
Right, and then occasionally Batgirl or Supergirl or whatever. But that was the conceit of the book. Eventually, in the 70s and the 80s, and then Levitz turning it on his head and saying, okay, yeah, it's still going to be a super character and a Bat character, but it's these two. It's the two female characters from Earth 2, which is great. Took me by surprise when I read that news back when it was first announced. Like, wow, that's good. That's neat. I'm interested to see what happens next with this book as well as Earth 2. I'm just not certain whether I'm hoping you can read one without the other in case I stop liking one.
Yeah.
Keep reading it to keep up with the other.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to keep that. They do like they did, so I think that was just this one time. In case, you know, because conceivably, you could read one without the other.
Oh, totally. Easily.
And that's why they showed what they did of what happened in the Earth 2 book, is so you wouldn't have to pick up Earth 2 to know how they got there. So.
Yeah, there were little flashes. And then far, DC's actually, I mean, even with the culling, DC's been pretty good about making sure that you don't have to necessarily read all of the associated crossover.
Yes. Unlike
every issue was the same thing.
Yeah, well, kind of was, wasn't it?
Well, that meant you didn't have to read them all. Come on.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Even the annual. Come on.
I thought, yeah, it was, it could have been better. But,
well,
It wasn't as bad as that Fall of the Vampires little mini crossover they did.
I heard good things about that one.
I didn't care for it. I really didn't. After it was over, I'm like, huh?
Au contraire, mon frere, that one was great.
I didn't care. I mean, it didn't really make much sense. Okay, why are they doing this? And then, okay, he's in charge of all the vampires. And then the next issue that came out of iVampire, you understood what was going on. It was almost like you could have skipped all that. That's just my opinion, of course, but, you know.
Well, that's fine. You could have skipped all that. And then The whole point was, okay, if you like Justice League Dark, check out iVampire, because it's got Justice League Dark. And if you like iVampire, check out Justice League Dark, because it's got Andrew Bennett floating around in here for a while, as well as the obligatory Batman tossed in. But
he didn't need to be in there.
No, he didn't. But come on,
whatever.
It's the throwing Spider-Man in, it's throwing Punisher in, it's throwing Batman in.
That's true.
And actually, they didn't make a big deal of it. They didn't, on the covers, they didn't say also starring Batman, which I, to their credit, is very, very brave of them, because they could have easily have sold extra copies by saying, hey, Batman's in this story. Is that a segue into Ravagers? Can we use that as a segue to Ravagers?
Or in Batman Incorporated, either one.
Good point. Which, because Batman Incorporated came out first, right?
Yeah, it did.
Well, I'm okay. So Batman Incorporated. Do we need to continue publishing two Batman and Robin books?
Well, see, I think this is going to be, because in the original run of it, before they canceled everything, they'd have different characters from Batman Incorporated from the team in there, and they've already set that up in this, because you see some of the other members. You see Wingman and some of the Outsiders that was in the Outsiders book.
Freight Train's
in here. And I forget what the hell that guy's name was. Oh, yeah, the Hood, he's named. But, yeah, you know, and you got that Spanish guy, which I forget what the hell his name is. And
Conquistador.
Yeah. But, I mean, I liked it. And the ending, the way that it ended, that was pretty interesting.
See, I didn't read. I read the first issue of the last version of Batman Inc., and I did not follow through. I've since Wikipedia'd to see what was going on.
It was really good. I enjoyed it.
I'm not sure. I mean, not to spoilers, but Talia al Ghul being the big bad in that book is actually pretty interesting, because I think Ra's al Ghul is been overused as the big bad. So
yeah, they did that series with that Resurrection of Ra's al Ghul, and they kind of set it up something good, and they went in and used it too quickly. They could have let it sit, because they had ended that thing with Batman, you know, drugging him up and under an assumed name and putting him in Arkham Asylum, and they got him out too fast, I thought, and that's probably why they switched to Talia, because
And when they dug him up, is that when he went all albino on us?
Yeah, see, it was his son.
What?
Yeah. You see, the albino was his son. And what he wanted to do was to put his brain into Damien. But that he got out and he teamed up with the rest of the Bat crew, and that's when he fully moved over, because he kept showing up with Talia off and on through the Bat book, and then, because, you know, the first appearance of him, there was a big explosion and they disappeared, and then he shows up later. But that's what he does. He's basically seeking asylum with, you know, Bruce Wayne and the rest of them, and they end up going after Ra's al Ghul and, you know, doing, like I said, and that's how it ends up. But yeah, his body couldn't handle any more of those Lazarus pits.
Wow.
They resurrected him into another body, and he wanted it to be him, but he did it into his son, which was the albino.
All right. Oh.
Cross-eyed. That was a really good run, anyway.
I like how this starts. This started the murder mystery. Hey, Bruce Wayne, you're under arrest, and Batman Inc. is no longer. And I like how it kind of jumps in mid-story, and then, whoop, and then we get how we got to this. The starting point.
See, Morrison's really good at that.
It was actually one of my. Morrison is so I'm half a fan of Morrison because it's such a shit. And then there was this one which was really easy read. It wasn't all that those little sound effects that he has people say all the time in place of, you know, the ughs. You get, you know, he's got the ticks and the and whatever. I enjoyed this, and you know, I know that he's the one who kind of created Damien, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah, he did.
This was good. I mean, I you know, you're the one who got me reading Batman and Robin.
Yeah,
and that's why I'm concerned that, you know, this one may overshadow that one, though.
I don't know. It's a different thing, and it's like if they do like they did in you know, if they do like they did in the original run, he's going to be seen with a different member of Batman Incorporated in every issue. Because I mean, that's where Batwing came from. He was a character in one of the stories,
right?
And then they just went with it. And and one little tidbit of continuity. I don't know if you caught it or not, but there after the fight in the slaughterhouse. Right.
Yeah, that was pretty nasty.
Yeah, it was nasty, and I love the bat cow. That was great. they're talking. He's talking to him about he killed somebody again. So basically,
right. They were talking about Damien killing somebody.
Right, right, right. And he says, after you kill the spook and nobody, you promise never again. So basically, and then he's talking about Otto Netz, right? I had to, or you'd be dead, and half the world would be in ruins. Well, okay, that happened in the Batman Incorporated run. So what they're saying is that the end of that nobody arc in Batman and Robin took place before the events in the previous Batman Incorporated series.
Oh, I took it that it just took place before this particular storyline.
No, because that was a ways back. That was early in it.
So Morrison's story may be set, unlike Justice League, may be set, you know, a year in the future or a few months in the future. Okay.
Yeah, well, I think because the way he says it is that there was a spook, and that was the first time he showed up. He was going to make Bruce Wayne take him in, you know, that when he was Batman, take him in as Robin. And he beat the crap out of Tim, left him bloody and unconscious in the Batcave, and then he went after the spook character and literally cut his head off. So that was the first one he killed. And then, so nobody, that was in that, you know, Batman and Robin arc. I think it was in either 8 or 9. Probably 8. It was in 8. That he did that. So this, and he said, you'd never do that. I'd never do it again. So he, from the order that he's talking, the Otto Netz was the third one he killed.
I'm getting the impression that he's just going to go ahead and keep killing people, and Batman's going to keep playing. Hey, no more, right? No more.
Yeah. Okay, well, they actually did a future Damien story as Damien is Batman story in Batman number 666. They did a bunch of 666 issues, all, you know, when they came out, and they did some kind of like, you know, horror kind of theme, and it's this dystopian future, and he's Batman now, and he mentions where I promised my father I wouldn't kill, which of course he does like several times after that. So, and well, there's a line where he says, I knew I'd never be as good as my father or Dick Grayson. So I booby-trapped places all over Gotham. So when if he got in over his head, he'd just blow the hell up everybody up.
Oh, well.
It was a great issue. It's actually collected in one of the Batman things that came out recently about that had a lot of Damien in it. But anyway.
Well, I enjoyed this. I mean, Morrison, like I said, I don't always enjoy his stuff, but this was this was really good.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Either I hate it completely, or I just over the moon in love with it. There's no middle ground with him.
I'm sticking around on this one for the time being.
Absolutely.
God damn, too much Batman.
There's a lot of Batman. It's a good time to be a fan of Batman right now.
Oh, shit.
So, next up,
Murray's already admitted offline, guys, by the way, anybody listening. He did not read this issue, so that's why his comments here have been...
Yeah, we didn't mute his mic or anything. He just didn't read it.
I've been trying to say and say and say, no, I didn't read it at all.
That's all right. That's okay.
You could be it. Trust me, Murray, you probably could have BS'd your way through a conversation on it.
Yeah, it was a good starter issue. There's a couple
funky visuals, though. Like Chris mentioned, the Bat Cow. It was in a slaughterhouse. It was the head of a steer, and it had somehow gotten a mask on its face. Not a mask, but it had gotten a stain on its face that looked like a domino mask kind of effect.
Yeah, it's like it just grew that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, they ended up following this bad guy into a slaughterhouse, and there's a lot of mutilated cows and blood and, well, more blood. Yeah, it was kind of shocking. Think of the children. That's all I have to say.
So far, the closest of these books that has been for the kids has been, in my opinion, was World's Finest. So far, yeah. None of the others are, I would hand to a child.
Yeah.
And definitely not this. Wow.
Oh, no, yeah. That was some gruesome stuff. Okay, and then we got the Ravagers.
I couldn't hand this quote-unquote teen book to a child either, so.
No, not really. So what did you think, Murray?
I didn't love it. It was fine, but it was nothing. It was, you know, what The Culling was. It was fine, but nothing. Not a lot happened in that first issue, just like not a lot happened in The Culling. It was.
Yeah.
They escaped, kind of, and they had a big fight, and then they're still stranded. Yeah.
Somebody explain to me why they had to change Beast Boy's color to red.
Well, it's going to be a story point. I remember reading that.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Mackie, go ahead.
Mackie said that. Howard Mackie said that it is going to be a reason for it. So we shall see.
Yeah, I think they're tying it in slightly to Animal Man and the red. And
Okay. I remember once you said that, I remembered that. So.
Okay. Which is fine. I would have liked to have seen more Beast Boy in this first issue because of all those characters, he's maybe the one that interested me the most and got the least amount of airtime.
And I thought it was interesting that Tara, they brought a Tara character back, made her look a lot like the original.
And Tara got right away.
And Beast Boy has the most cachet of all these characters. I mean, surprisingly. I mean, they're all... You know, I know Fairchild was pretty big with Wildstorm fans, but I have no freaking clue who she is beyond her Superboy appearances.
Yeah, me too.
Thunder and Lightning are essentially brand new characters, as is Ridge.
There was a lot of killing in this issue too.
Yes, when Warblade, geez Louise, he's vicious. One of the bad guys. Sorry, the one who was hanging out with, Ravager. Used to be Ravager.
So yeah, it's definitely interesting. I mean, I'm willing to kind of see because, you know, when I read something like this, it's kind of shaky. I think of the first season of Star Trek: The Next Generation. If I had just quit there, you know, I might have been. You know, this. You know, I missed a lot of good stuff. So, I mean, I'm willing to give it a shot.
Yeah, and how did either of you react to the name of Lightning? Her name.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. Yeah, that can't be an accident.
Ayla. Well, it's not exactly the same, right? Like, it's Aaliyah instead of Ayla, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I thought it was A-Y-L-A.
No,
I think it's A L Y A.
Yeah.
Oh, so they were screwing with me. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I missed that too.
Sons of bitches. Sorry. Okay.
And I don't know that Thunder and Lightning are new. Like, I think they're.
Well, the name and the powers are not new, but the way they're being portrayed here is. Because they were brothers in the Teen Titans. And they were, you know, Asian, and one had lightning powers, one had thunder. But the way, it's a male and female this time. And they call themselves brothers and sisters, but that Thunder looks a little Hispanic to me, or maybe even black.
I couldn't tell the ethnicity of some of the characters. Like, I thought maybe they're ethnic, maybe they're not. I don't know. I had the same problem with Caitlin, not her, or Fairchild, or whoever she is. Not that I was figuring out whether she was ethnic or not, but I'm guessing that her thing is that she gets big and strong, but I couldn't always get that from the art. Like, I didn't.
Yeah, it's on the subtle side.
Yeah.
I just looked for big boobs. When she had big boobs, then she was, you know, strong. No big boobs, then she was normal.
Gotcha.
I was actually the visual cue on this was the goggles.
Yeah, she would put the goggles on when she depowered.
Yeah. And it seems like she's kind of a She-Hulkish type character, original She-Hulkish type character, where she would have control, but it would be easy for her to lose control, unlike the Hulk, who originally was, you know, either, you know, was always out of control when he was the Hulk. So
I think I understood that's what they were going for. I just don't think it didn't always translate for
me. I agree. I mean, there's a subtle change in the way her costume is, because the purple patches get bigger.
Yeah, it may be too many new characters introduced all at once. Because we didn't get enough of anybody. We got some insight into, you know, Fairchild's the quote unquote adult, but we don't get any idea of, you know, and she's also, they all hate her, but they're all going to trust her anyhow, and she's telling them not to kill, but then all of them immediately get killed when the bad guy, whatever.
Who designed Thunder's hairstyle? That's what I want to know. He's got freaking piping on his head and face. Like Jim Lee decided to draw his face or something, you know? Did you notice that? He's got this little mini mohawk. Just weird. And then he got Lightning with her half buzz cut, half spiky thing, which looks really retarded, actually.
Oh, I actually thought his hair was kind of like the old Invisible Kid hair, or the Invisible Kid hairstyle.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. But, I mean, if you look even on the cover, he's got, like, scars that are in a pattern on his face. And it's piping, like, you know, on some of those Justice League outfits. Very, very odd.
My favorite character in this story was actually that guy who flies really fast.
Oh, yeah. And he dumped a chick.
Yeah, when he goes, you know, you're gonna go fly up against that window there because I'm out of here. Yeah. Bright. I plan on surviving. Always have, and just throws her at the ship.
That's pretty
funny. I liked him.
Yeah,
I liked him.
It's like a lightning bug, you know, under the windshield.
I'd love to see more of him, but I don't think we're going to.
No, I think he got skewered pretty.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yes. I think you're right. he was my standout favorite.
Yeah.
And then they conveniently kept not showing all the other survivors from the colony.
Yeah, exactly.
And all of a sudden they're until there. They need to chop someone up, and then
yeah, exactly. That's going to be like Lost, where these people were on the other side of the island.
Well, that's right. And then they kill them all off in the firefight.
Yeah, exactly.
And which is what they did in Lost too, isn't it?
I think they all died, didn't they? They were on
yes.
the other side.
Yeah, on Lost, there was that this scene in the last season where all of a sudden the guys come through with the guns and start shooting everyone except for the main survivors.
Well, in the end, there were no survivors ever.
right. Well,
it's a very aggravating ending.
Yes, and this is clearly I see how this cliffhanger is going to play out. You know, oh gosh, Terra and Beast Boy have to come back because they're being chased by someone and they save them. So,
yeah, I can see that.
Well, there's all those rocks flying around them, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
There needs to be a little more story momentum for me to buy in. I don't know.
But Legion Lost number one was the same way. It was too much new stuff, and then number two was really a grabber.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, unfortunately, it's kind of dropped off. But maybe number two will be, you know, Mackie will pull it out and go, hey, okay, this is what I intended for number one issue, and it will be, you know, the best things in sliced bread for next month.
Right.
Maybe not.
Let's see what else.
But I'll tell you something though. If they couldn't continue sales on a funky book like OMAC, I doubt they're going to continue sales on a funky book like Dial H. If they couldn't get sales up on those other five titles, I don't see any of these except for Earth 2, you know, taking on sales numbers that say, okay, we can survive with these.
I think World's Finest has a good chance. When it came out, Batman Inc. did pretty good.
Yeah.
But I don't see Ravage. I'm not sure about Ravagers. That's iffy to me. But I don't see. I mean, the GI Combat thing with the World of Time Forgot. I don't see that taking off at all either. Especially at that price point.
Yeah, they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it last time. We'll make some things they can do it again. Just rename it.
Well, people just love dinosaurs. Just ask. You know, how many Jurassic Park movies did they make?
Three.
But of course, then Terra, that didn't last. So that was a great show. I liked
Terra Nova.
Terra Nova. Yeah. See, I've already forgotten the name.
Never even watched an episode.
It was actually pretty good. They're trying to sell it to Netflix, last I heard, but they canceled it, of course.
Okay. Well,
so maybe the dinosaur thing has died off, so maybe it doesn't.
Just like the dinosaurs themselves.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey. It's all about Muppets now.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, if you get a chance to go to Disneyland, Muppets in 3D.
Oh, man.
Just saying. It was awesome.
To go to Disneyland.
It'd be fun. Disneyland is, or that was actually California Adventure, but Disneyland, OMG. Uh-huh. Okay. Anyhow, so are we confident that DC made a right move with these six books? Are we?
I'm thinking, how many books was it?
Six.
That's right. Yeah. I've give two of them shaky. And in one, maybe, and in three, I'm thinking they're fine.
So, what are the shaky ones?
Shaky ones are GI Combat and Dial H. Dial H might be a little bit too weird to survive. And GI Combat, I don't see it. Any book that they've put J.T. Crowell on's died a horrible death. I don't see why that's going to be any different.
Captain Adam's still going.
Yeah, it's true. It is. Of course, we got the number zeros coming up in September and changing things around there, so more things might get killed at that point. But Ravagers, it could make it. I don't see why the other three, Batman Inc. and Earth 2 and World's Finest, won't make it. I mean, you got fan favorite writer and fan favorite artist. I'm not sure about Kevin Maguire as much as I am Perez, but I think them switching back and forth, doing the flashbacks being in Maguire and him, that might be able to have Perez be on a monthly book. You know, he's not getting any younger. I hate to say that, but, you know, and he's had eye surgery and had got tendonitis when trying to do the JLA Avengers and all of that other stuff, but yeah.
I think World's Finest can, it'll last a chunk of time. Levitz can do his introductory story, and then there's always the pulling out of Batman or Superman to see how they mix it up with the ladies, and that'll pull in a couple more readers, and you know what I mean? Like, people are going to want to see how this Huntress interacts with Batman, and they're going to want to see how Superman and Power Girl hit it off. And
I find it interesting that
they're – especially the new Superman, the way Superman's portrayed now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's nothing like the one on Earth 2.
No.
And fact that they were here 5 years too.
Yeah. Like they're totally established, so we can see
–
and it looks like Huntress has had some sort of career in that 5 years, so we can do flashbacks and see how she interacted with Robin and how she interacted with Nightwing.
Our girl is a billionaire. How'd that happen?
Is it 5 years or is it 2 years?
No, they said it many times that they got here, and in the first sequence they show a picture of Superman, and it's when he was still in the T-shirt. So it's been that's why they're not really showing, they're not having identities to right now, because when they got to this Earth, there wasn't any superheroes yet.
Okay, and I am sorry, and I guess it's been a few weeks since I read it, and yeah. You know, God help me.
Well, I got through reading through it while we were talking about one of the others, but yeah.
Okay.
Because it's when they land on the beach, you know, and Huntress or Power Girl was out for several, you know, days or whatever.
Oh, and it even starts up the first flashback with Maguire says, 5 years ago.
Well, yeah, but there's other evidence too, so. Yeah.
Well, so they actually are more experienced than any of the Justice League, mm-hmm. Except for maybe, you know, they kind of hint that Batman had a pre 5 year career, but other than that, these guys are all.
Yeah, they are. If you really, I guess you're right.
They're more seasoned.
They were totally operating as Robin and Supergirl
mm-hmm.
before they. Got zapped over to our world. Sorry, Earth One, Earth New, whatever. Are we Earth One? Is it Earth One? Earth.
I don't know.
Earth Current DC.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then, the only question mark then of the six is probably Ravagers in terms of a future.
Yeah.
I think we'll agree that, you know, the combat book. While you know, maybe there's a niche audience for there, if they're looking for numbers, if they're looking for dollars from that book, it ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Dial H might survive simply as a cult book, sort of like All Star Western does.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, these other three have got a solid audience and a solid creative team.
Oh, yeah.
And so unless you know they totally screw the pooch on them, they're in for the long haul on these.
Yeah.
And I mean, with the culling, I didn't love the story, but it could have done good numbers for them. And if it did,
mm-hmm.
that's going to help Ravagers, I think.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like if it was a successful crossover and people that enjoyed the crossover follow the story into Ravagers, that's gonna keep it around for a little while. So
mm-hmm.
okay,
so we'll see.
Yep, we will see.
All right. Yeah. And then we've got the Zeros coming up in a couple months here.
Yeah,
Well, they have not officially announced the Zeros yet, but
yeah. Whatever. Well, there's enough of an acceptance of that rumor to it's going to happen. We just don't know how. I guess.
And then lost Justice League International for whatever reason, but that's I'm sure
it's supposed to turn into something else, is what I remember reading. So
Justice League OMAC, I told you, JLO.
All right, then. Let's
They're
see.
All getting mohawks.
every issue, they'll have a different haircut.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm waiting for Justice League Mullet. That'll be...
awesome. Ooh. I love it. Put that in the bank. Copyright that.
Yeah, they're bringing Vibe back, so they can certainly... Mullets are easy to squeeze in.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. Oh, yeah, I'm looking... Interesting to see what that Trinity Wars, what that's all about.
That will be very cool, and I am interested to see. I mean, all bad, you know, wood weakness jokes aside, and rainbow lantern jokes aside.
Yeah, I've already got a bunch of those from people.
I'm interested to see how they play out the gayness of Alan Scott. You know, it should be. Hopefully they do it the same way they've done, you know, the Batwoman gay aspect, where it's just it's her, but it's not the defining character of her.
Yeah,
I think you trust Robinson to do it justice. He's,
yeah,
his Starman, his blue Starman. You know, mm-hmm. he was gay, but he wasn't like.
Yeah, it did it very tastefully. So
you know, and DC made such a big deal out of. What's that Titans character?
Bunker,
right. He's supposed to be gay, but we've got none of that from the character. He's never actually said, I'm gay. So maybe they will, you know, they have the potential to do this right.
Yep.
And I have faith in them. They've done pretty good with the New 52 in the last 10.
Yeah, I think so. I'm happy with most of it.
Most of it, okay.
Well, but yeah, the stuff I don't like, I just got rid of. So
yeah, good point. As we all have.
Yes.
As we all
have. Well, I think we about covered it. You got anything else, guys? Or
I'll be honest with you guys, I am wiped out.
I'm kind of tired too.
I'm glad you wanted to do this tonight rather than tomorrow, because I would have been. I just want to kind of, at the end of the day, I'm going to go find a martini glass to crawl into and fall asleep. So.
That sounds like a good idea. All right, then. Let's see. Oh, crap. Here comes the yard. Sorry about that. I've been holding that back since you yawned a while ago.
Listening to this Monday morning, trying to get through work.
Yeah.
We're
not helping at all. Anyway, okay. If you want to contact us and let us know what you think and give us some any other feedback, you can email us as usual at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. You can comment on the specific episodes at talesfromthelongbox.com/the show. That is the new website that I set up. Get the iTunes things fixed. We are on iTunes and would love iTunes comments on there or, you know, whatever. And also, if you would like to donate to the show and help with website costs, I now have a donate button on the main page. The web hosting bill's coming up soon. So, you know, now's the time to chip in if you want. I hate to ask that, but, you know how it goes. Times are tough. Anyway. So, that's about it for me. Anything else?
I'm good. I'll talk Disney next week because it's interesting things to comment on there. So, yeah. comic book related wise. So,
yeah, do they got a bunch of Marvel crap over there now?
I want to save it. I don't want to get into it right now. I'm too tired.
Yeah, I can understand. I'm pretty worn out too. It's been a pretty rough week, but anyway, we won't get into that. So until next time, we will see you then.
Have a pleasant weekend.
Yes. Thanks for joining us.
All right. I'm going to go put my kids to bed and go buy dinner because we're not cooking.